Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bonsai Chat. And DJ, that wasn't a JoJo music. That was another anime. I'll just say that because I know you might not like that song, but you might get a little mixed up on your references here.
I'm going to sneak in here and put Tom Sawyer on that one time.
It's not hard to do, but, you know, I don't want Rush to sue me, so.
We'll just do a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not afraid of it, but,
you know. What could they take?
They could take my soundboard. I mean, geez.
I'll be back.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode. I am your host, Ryan, and of course, I'm here with DJ, my co-host.
Hello.
How's going on, DJ?
Just getting by.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Trying to put more Rush into the Bonsai Chat.
Into life in general.
Yeah. So on today's episode, we are going to be going over Love, Death, and Robots because they just came out with a new season of it. And yeah, I'm glad they did because we did do an episode about the first season. And I knew they were going to do more just the way like the style of this show is. But I guess I wasn't expecting when it was coming out. So because it came out in 2019. So I guess that's nice. It didn't take too long.
Well, 2 years.
Yeah, and I'll get to that because I have some quarrels on this new season. So, but before that, I want to get into some like Bonsai banter that I we had some news coming up and things I just wanted to talk about. And I just wanted to say first, if you've been playing or watching anything, you maybe want to add some quick reviews or something about before I get into my spiels of nerd shit.
I've just been reading. I mean, I've been really getting into my reading lately and listening to Rush.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's good. So there's been some big news in the anime world. And Kentaro Miura, he passed away, who was the Berserk author. And I know I've talked to you about it. And I know you haven't, like, you know, seen or read or anything of it about it. But that's the main character, Guts, right there. Just put out the action figure I have of him as a grown 30-year-old man.
Looks Game of Thrones like.
It's very, and he's definitely one of the like bigger, like, I mean, he's definitely one of the most well-respected mangakas that was, and it's just sad to see him lost because he made this story Berserk, and he had a couple other works too, but I mean, Berserk literally was his like that was his literally golden manga. And he's been writing this since like 1988. And it's really cool because he actually has a very different type of anime. I guess, you know, manga anime, it's all the same, but cause it's like more Western influence, you know, it's a dark fantasy. So it's not about like samurais or like it's very, there's no actual like Japanese influence in it. It's very medieval. And, the way he told his story with this, and sadly it's never going to be told in its completion now since he passed away too early. But I mean, the Golden Age arc is the one that was adapted into the first 90s anime that came out, and then it was adapted into a movie, and they literally are just telling the same story and just like kind of rebooted it a couple times. But the Golden Age arc, it was his like big, huge, like kind of masterpiece of his arcs and stuff.
Magnum opus.
Yeah, and it's basically like telling the story of the main character and how he became to be. And it's really cool because his artwork, because he obviously wrote and drew Berserk, which is, if you've seen any of the artwork, I should have pulled up some pictures, but it's like some of the most fantastic artwork ever. He's just like makes badass characters. Like it looks so good. And he only got better as he got older, too, which is interesting. Because if you see the beginning of when Berserk first came out, it's still really great. But as you continue to read it, it's like you could see his like penmanship just become just crazy good. And again, he never would skip corners. I mean, it's like drawing like Guts's sword, which is this like massive 10-foot broadsword. He just cuts through enemies and stuff like that in such a cool way. it's just, he's just had such amazing things that he's wrote and done that it's just sad to know that there'll be no more of it and stuff. And yeah, it just, I kind of wanted to say it on the podcast just to.
I totally understand that. Yeah. I totally can relate. Yeah, it is sad anytime someone of value leaves us. It's too bad.
And yeah, he was only 54, so it's like.
Ouch, that's how old I am.
Well, you're still with us. So there's more to podcast and talk about and stuff. So, but yeah, I just have to say, because yeah, but I mean, Berserk, if I had to put it in, Berserk is in my top animes of all time too. So it's above JoJo, I'll say that.
Everything is above JoJo. Yeah,
but I'm just telling you.
Until they put Rush in there, everything is above
JoJo. But I'm just telling you that this anime, I think, is like, I love JoJo, but I mean, Berserk is a whole other level. So
cool.
And yeah, I started up Resident Evil Village, and I wanted to talk about that because we've talked about Resident Evil a little bit here and there with some of the other, like Resident Evil 3 we talked about. And I don't think we ever got into 7. But this is the continuation of this of Resident Evil 7 that came out. And I've been playing Resident Evil since the beginning. And it's a really, it's one of my favorite video game series. And it's gotten kind of like crazy as the times went on, like with probably Resident Evil 5 and 6. The story got a little more like just too wild. You know, it started off as literally a bunch of people going into a house that's just infested with zombies, to more like bio weapons that are taking over the world, and there's Matrix fights. Like they got a really crazy into their stories, and a lot of it's kind of like funny to see now, but the way they kind of rebooted this series with this first person aspect of it from 7, and Resident Evil 7 wasn't like the greatest game ever, but they had a cool idea by bringing the, cause it wasn't scary anymore. That's kind of like what sucked about the Resident Evil games, is they lost a lot of the, kind of thrill of them. And they did become more of like a third person, just like shoot all the, you know, monsters down. But now they're kind of going into this more horror element, where Resident Evil 7 kind of took a page of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of deal, where it's like you're this guy stuck in this house with these like psychos that are all weird and monster-esque and stuff, and you navigate that. So it's not literally like taking down hordes of zombies. It's about taking care of, like, getting rid of these individuals that are trying to kill you throughout this house. And they moved over in that with Resident Evil Village and kind of took into the vampire werewolf aspect too. So there are zombies still, but it's gotten more fun, I think. And I've only got a couple hours into this game, but having a really good time with it. And it's cool. I just like that this series did refresh itself in, you know, in my opinion, the right way, and not just kind of like taking some of these characters that I've seen since back when I played it in the 90s and stuff, and just kind of made them stupid. You know, they're like, let's just wipe it clean, make some new stuff up. If it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, but let's just do something more than, especially since, you know, like the Walking Dead fit. It's like there's been so much zombified stuff. It kind of gets boring, you know?
Well, I totally agree. I think that's the problem with them. Shooting zombies all the time is boring. How do you kill the vampires?
Well, it's basically the whole thing of, you know, getting them into sunlight and, you know, into the elements and stuff like that. And it's cool because it's not about like horror. And they're trying to do... Resident Evil 4 is one of the greatest ones. It's like literally one of the greatest games ever. And they pay homage to it in this, because it's going to, because it's called Resident Evil Village, and you do fight more enemies in this like first person style that you didn't do in 7. So they kind of are taking tips from Resident Evil 4, because like people love that game so much, they're trying to like pull in some of that character to it. But it's basically like you running around in this giant like European house. I mean, not house, castle. It's a castle. And all these people that are, some are vampires, some are werewolves, some are like Van Helsing type people. And they're literally just like running around trying to kill you because they kidnap your daughter, who, again, I'm not fully into it, and this won't be any spoilers of it, but they kidnap your daughter because you and your wife had this like certain bloodline from like seven that you have to see. You have to play seven to understand that. That's pretty much what I think is, like, they're just trying to take the blood of this child that has these things that you passed on to it and stuff. So it's a new story, and this Resident Evil never, ever got that way. So
wouldn't the Van Helsing characters be fighting the vampires in the,
he just looks, the guy that I'm saying that's the Van Helsing guy, he just looks like him.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the Hugh Jackman version is the only, but if you saw like a picture, you'd be like, oh, that looks like, but he's a bad guy.
Okay.
He like controls metal. I don't know. It's weird, but he has like a giant like hammer. And he's like a normal looking dude, but he has literally like a leather hat, leather trench coat, you know, dark glasses. And he just wields this like, and he's like a normal looking guy. And I that's the only thing.
No, I get like it now. Now he looks like him. I totally get it now. He's
but
not
it's this whole like,
he looks like him.
That's where they kind of, it's interesting how they changed it from in the Resident Evil 7. It was more hillbilly, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, kind of leather face kind of stuff, where just these like, I don't know, like homeless looking people that are just monsters. And in this, they're all like more sophisticated zombies, but the universal like monster kind of type people now. And it's literally like these vampires. There's like a fish person. There's this weird doll lady. And so it's like a new family, but they're more like kind of the, I guess it's like,
it vampires, like original horror
Frankenstein,
yeah,
like
that's
stuff
original
like that.
Horror,
yeah. That's like, cause that's, they tried to make those movies where they called the universal monsters and all that, but
Creature of the Black Lagoon.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of that instead of just crazy chainsaw people in the woods. So it's I'm really digging it. And
well, that definitely sounds more interesting to me than just zombies. So
yeah, good for them. And they have like lackeys and stuff like that, you know, that are just trying to kill you and stuff. But the only critique I would say so far about it, it is kind of more just like a movie to watch. The gameplay isn't that great compared to some of the other Resident Evils that are more fun when you're like shooting down the enemies and stuff. And since this one, they kind of upped it more where you're actually doing more first person fighting. It just doesn't feel right to me in a lot of ways. And they try like in the other Resident Evils that they're like trying to manipulate this to, like Resident Evil 4, like you had a whole arsenal and you could like control a crowd and like take, like one of the best things about that when they first introduced that in Resident Evil 4 is like, the best way to take out characters is to like cap them at like the legs, and you could go do like a melee attack and all this stuff. And they kind of like don't even acknowledge that in this, even if it's first person, like shooting them, like you can headshots do the most, but nothing else really affects them. And you literally have a move called guard where you just put up your hands. And like, that's what you'll see is just like him put his hands up and you're fighting people with like blades, like swords and stuff like that, or werewolves that literally have, you know, they're just inhuman monsters, and that like stops attacks. So it doesn't even,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And like some, like the most lowest level enemies, like I just realized, because I was like using, when I got like the handgun, I'm like trying to like shoot, and I'm just like kind of like just wasting a bunch of ammo. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm only like 2 hours into this game. There's no way like I need to be like spraying all these bullets right now. So I tested it out, and you have a knife, like that's kind of like your starting weapon and stuff like that. But I was like, well, let's see what happens, you know, if you block an attack and just cut away. And that's just as good as shooting them in the head and like trying to figure, you know, like trying to aim and all that stuff and doing all that. And
that
I was like,
hard.
It can. And I'm like, well, this is the way to do it. So it's like, it kind of takes away from the difficulty of it all. And like to do that in the other games, you have to be like really good at the game. And this, I'm literally like, oh, well, now I just found an easier way. So when I fight like a boss or something, I can just use all my handgun ammo and actual ammo against these like more difficult things than just these lackeys that I see around. Yeah. But it's just like silly because he literally puts his hands up and some of the main, like the regular bad guys have like swords. And that's if you, as long as you put your hand up, it takes away less damage.
That doesn't make any sense.
And then you can just stab them. And again, when you get up close, you can just like head swipe them. So it takes away more for them because they can't block. And it's just like, I was just like, this is kind of stupid.
Sounds like someone fell asleep with the storyboard part.
Yeah. And that's where the game more or less is just kind of like for the visuals and like the story, which is like the story is really cool so far. But I'm like, they're trying to get to it. And, you know, I'm not done with it. So it could all turn around and maybe the gameplay will step up and be better. But I'm enjoying it. I'm just kind of showing both sides of it. So
if it wasn't first person, I'd check it out.
Yeah, I know. I'd love if you could check this out. It'd be really cool. But maybe another Resident Evil will come out for that. So, but let's get into, you don't have anything you wanted to talk about besides that? And we just get into our main topic.
I'm only, like I said, reading about the connection of the New World Order and the music world.
It's
pretty freaky, but
are there vampires in that?
You know, in a way, very first book I read about the New World Order was called Operation Vampire Killer 2000.
Okay. So, I mean, it just sounds like a vampire, you know, like the New World. Again, because in any vampire movie, it's always about them trying to, you know, them being the higher ups and controlling, you know, humans and stuff. So
some of it's hard to believe, but some of it makes sense too. I mean, the signals they give you and their videos, they do the triangle and he even brings up from TLC left eye and highlighting her left eye. Well, that's the all seeing eye above the triangle, the pyramid. I mean, some of it makes sense and some of it's a little tenuous when you have to put the logical steps together. But if it is true, we got a scary future ahead. That's all I'll say.
Yikes. Well, maybe this game is setting me up to be prepared for...
Oh, always be prepared. Yeah. Survival training, always be prepared, except for a zombie apocalypse. I don't think you need to be prepared for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're prepared for the one thing we're talking about, you'll be prepared for the zombie apocalypse.
I guess. Yes, good point.
But let's get prepared for some Love, Death, and Robots Season 2. Yes, we are back for the Season 2 of Love, Death, and Robots. You know, I always thought it was Love, Sex, and Robots, and I kept saying that for...
I thought it was too.
That's not like, wasn't it? Am I crazy?
I really thought it was Love, right. Sex, and Robots. I really did. It's not? I'm not paying attention good enough then.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I don't know. All right. I guess our fact checking isn't the best. But, I mean, I even looked it up and like the Wikipedia and all that stuff say Love, Death, and the Robots. Maybe they switched it from Season 1 or something like that.
In the review that I looked, they were counting how much love was in it, how much sex was in it, and how much robots was in it. So even they thought, because they didn't put death as in the count, they put sex in it. So maybe it used to be and now it is. I don't know, but doesn't matter.
It's, I guess we'll have to review the previous episode of that. So, but this was produced by Tim Miller and a bunch of other people. And basically, if you've never seen the first season, it's like an amalgamation of just different short movies done by different like animators and directors and all that. And they're just each telling short stories. And this is the continuation of that too. So Season 1 came out in 2019 and there was 18 episodes to that.
A lot more than what this one is.
Yeah. And that's again, first gripe I had, and I'm sure you agree with me on this, that we got, you know, the trailer for the Season 2, and I was like, hell yeah, this will definitely be on the podcast and all that stuff. And it comes out, and we get 8 episodes. And again, these are the longest one, I think it's 15 minutes. So it's not Game of Thrones length. It's not even a normal sitcom
they're
length.
They're real short punches. I didn't even know there was 8 episode. So I'm watching it through it. And then when I got through with 8, I go to the next one and it goes back to season 1. And I'm like, what the hell? I've seen this before. I was totally surprised it was only 8. I was ready to watch more.
And I don't know if they're doing like a season break and like they're going to do another 8 a couple months from now or something like that. But I don't know. It's like if you did that for the first season where you just dropped us 18 episodes of these shorts again, like whatever that is adding up, I'm sure it's maybe not even 2 hours, but you know, come on. It's like, why would you skimp that short for a new season?
It could be cost. It could be the COVID thing. I mean, I really don't know why. And I agree with you, but there are reasons that it could be that I don't know. It'd be speculation if I, you know, went any further. I really don't know.
That's true. I'm just bitching about, you know, just throwing it out there. But I don't know. What was your like first impression with like this new season and all these episodes?
I don't know about it was okay. I didn't mind it. I mean, I sat through them and it seemed to go by pretty quick.
Yeah.
Some were too dark for me, especially the one where killing the kids. But I liked it overall. I
mean, yeah.
I'm giving it an okay grade and maybe a B. Mm-hmm. You know, it was okay.
Well, and that's like, I think it's cool with, and this is why I like the first season a lot too. It's always good to get into like a new show and all that stuff. It's, you know, nice, but you don't get these kind of things too often. I think it's a very unique kind of style of just trying to show individual things. Cause again, you could watch one of these and really like it and not having to like expose yourself to the other things.
Well, they all have a different style too. Like you said, every single one of them had a different style.
And that's like, from like funny to dark to action to like silly to just, and again, like the look of it is a big thing too, from realistic to more cartoony. And I just like that. Especially being short stories, you kind of miss that a lot. Like some things need to be dragged on so much nowadays. It's kind of, even if you don't get everything answered, there's a lot of these that are very vague and kind of just like, oh, well, that's like a scene, but that's not necessarily bad. You know what I mean?
Well, if you go to literature, there are some short stories that are really good. Like, oh, Henry, I really liked his short stories. So, I mean, it depends on the writing. In this case, the writing and the animation. But a short story can be good. If it packs a lot into it, it can be very powerful. It depends on the short story.
Well, and that's like what's kind of cool about this, because you can pick out of, you know, even going back to season one and stuff, some nail it and some you're like, maybe they should just have one episode. But then you're like, man, some of those should have maybe a few more and some shouldn't even have one. You know what I mean? Like
no,
you can
absolutely.
Like look at it all in that. And I think that's interesting. And it's cool to invest into like watching these things. If this is kind of like what you're into, you know, like kind of like more like sci-fi stuff. But the first season I liked a lot more. This new season definitely was more of a letdown than anything. I think I actually, the way I wrote down in these notes, it's like, which is, I guess, an even 50-50 score, but I liked literally half of the episodes and the other half I thought were just so dumb. Like just, they just lacked a lot of imagination to what was going on from the first season to like some of the premises of the episodes were just so like, that's been done 1,000 times. Like, and maybe like the animation looked better, like the Michael B. Jordan one. Like, I'm like, really? Like a robot just comes in and he's like, it's like kind of like Predator.
Is that the Hatch one when he's in space and crashes? And yeah, okay. I know what you're
doing. And I'm like, and I thought that was not terrible, but it just was, I'm like, that's already been done. There was nothing like interesting about that.
Well, I did like the animation of that one.
Of course, it looked amazing.
Yeah, it looked amazing. And I also liked it when that robot smashed his fingers. That looked really realistic.
Yeah.
But I totally understand what you're saying.
And even like the first episode, the auto one, and that was like really funny and cool and stuff. But, you know, I'm like, that story's been told 1,000 times where it's like, we're in this future and, you know, people are just letting the, you know, basically our you know, it's basically what's going to happen in the future for us, where it's just like everything is just done by robots.
Well, it was definitely dystopian, but however, I did like the humor, and that, made it okay. The humor bringing up to it made it lighter than the dark, you know, true dystopian, you know, future. Yeah,
it was a good first episode, I guess, to start the season, but I just thought it was like with season one, when it had the three robots that ventured out into the world, and like they had like the actual, like, kind of like, I mean, it wasn't a cyborg, but it's like the two that basically could talk, and then they had like the robot that just like followed them around, was like a cleaning robot. That was more of like what I thought, that was like something that hadn't been done and was interesting, because it's like robots talking about the future, and like, because like the whole, like everything was like destroyed and all that stuff, and barely robots were like taking care of everything and stuff. And so it's like, that was more, I thought this episode would have been in the first season and that episode would have been in this season. But then I just, with the episodes I didn't like, I just thought they really went back to such basic things that like every sci-fi person's have already done and thought about, you know?
So what was your least favorite? What was number 8?
My least favorite one. Let me think. Because it's like, again, like the Michael B. Jordan one wasn't that great. It was the tall grass one. That one was just so whatever. Like, I did not dig that one that much. So,
I just thought he was stupid. As soon as I said to myself, just don't follow it. Don't follow it.
That's what I'm saying.
You're an idiot. Like, don't follow it. And he follows it and ends up.
And like Stephen King actually has a movie that is that. And it has more to do with like demons than like robots, I guess. But
weren't they more like, I guess you'd call them like zombie type characters, yeah, weren't they? I mean,
something like that. Yeah, but they came out of the ground.
They were hibernating or something.
But it's like, you know, some guy going in the woods and he's like, you know, the guy's like, stay near the train, stay near the train. Like, I was like, I know exactly how this is going to end. Like, it just was so predictable. And like that animation style was all right. You know, it was kind of like stop motion. I don't know what you would call that, but I know it was drawn. It wasn't stop motion, but it like kind of looked like Coraline or Night of what's it called? The Nightmare Before Christmas kind of esque, you know.
Oh, Tim Burton.
Like just that like kind of filter of it, sure. You know. But again, like the story was like, once it happened, like once he got off the train, I was like, I know exactly where this is going, even though there's 10 more minutes left. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I'm watching another hour of this, because I would definitely have turned off the TV. But I just, again, I'm like, I was just disappointed in some of the story logic in a lot of these. So, and I'm not saying they need to blow my mind and be like, oh my God, like I like shoot my Alexa and like break my phone. Like, you don't need to do that, like freak me out in that sense. Because even one of my favorite ones was the overpopulation one with the guy that killed the kids and stuff like that.
You really like that one?
I like that one.
My least favorite one.
It's because
it was so dark and
it was just intense. Like, I like the intensity and the way that it was shown and like presented and all that stuff. And that's not a crazy idea that, you know, it's not the first time they've thought of a utopia where it's like the population's controlled and people are more like living longer. Like, you know, like that's not a unique idea, I would say. But the way they told that story was cool, with like that was the guy's job. And like, you know, like he's like this special agent that like that. His whole thing is, if he finds, you know, new population in the world, he has to dispose of it. And that's like a whole mind fuck of a thing to think about. And the way you can see him like dealing with it and like trying to understand it, and then like him fighting his partner at the end. Again, when they tighten it up like that and show it in that kind of form, and again, it's not even a half hour long, but you got like a whole movie out of that.
It was definitely a morality tale, because what he was doing at the first was immoral, and then he started waking up. It's sad, the father in me. I can't.
Oh, same take, here.
Yeah, killing kids. I just can't do it. And that part of it right there is what made me it turned me off to that one. But other than that, the animation wasn't bad at all.
I mean, that was definitely one of the more.
And the story wasn't bad at all. It was just too dark because of the killing the kids. I couldn't do it. I couldn't take it.
Going back to Kentaro Miura, it's like Berserk is dark as fuck. Like, you probably wouldn't like that then. So I like a lot of happy things, but I like a lot of both, you know. But it's I'm not saying that was my favorite one, but it just goes to show like how well I guess this is why it's fun watching these, because you're getting all these stories and you're just kind of picking and choose which ones like make you feel a certain way and stuff, if it's funny or if it's sad. And that one was an intense one. What were your like tops or your knots?
The bottom was that I think was ice one. I just didn't like that one at all.
See, I like that one. That was in my like favorites. Not favorite, but it's like those are on the side that I liked. And I like that more or less just for the visuals.
The story was stupid to me. It was a big fishing expedition. That's basically what it was.
Yeah. Well, they're like seeing like the whales come out and stuff like that and doing drugs on it.
I didn't see the connection. And maybe it's because I missed it. I wasn't paying attention of the one being pure and the rest being rotted. I didn't get the connection on that. At least the connection to the story. It didn't, to me, that was the one that lost me the most out of all of them.
Well, I think the story of that, because it is basically like, he is like a normal person, the one brother, and the other brother is modded. And when he was running away from the whale thing coming out from the ice, and then he rolls his ankle. And I think he was testing his brother, and that was like kind of because in like before it's like he's saying, I can take care of myself. I can do all this. I can hang with, you know, just people that are like more modified and basically unreal and stuff like that. And he was showing his brother that he could be the better, like the better one, you know, because even after they always showed him that like, he actually was faking that injury. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I agree. That story wasn't what caught me with that. I just thought it looked really good. And like, I liked it more of like kind of the anime style of it, you know, since it wasn't like the CGI stuff. Like I like that stuff, but if that's all it was, this would be a different kind of thing. But that's more or less the reason why I liked Ice probably the best, is just because of the way it looked. So
that was your best and my worst, huh?
That's okay.
To your opinion. It's wow, we're the opposite. My favorite one was the snow in the desert.
Yes.
I really liked that.
That was a really good one. That's definitely on my side as well, because again, it's not like that crazy of it just had more legs to like what it was trying to do. Like again, like you could see that story being built off of and being its own thing if they had like a whole season just with that, or like a whole movie of just with that.
Yeah, you could go further with that,
you know. And I like that a lot. And it's cool when you never know how they're gonna do the stories in these Love, Death and Robots and stuff like that, because this one did have, you know, like it was very sci-fi, but like the main character just being like this kind of different breed of human, not like a robot, you know. He just had like these
had a quirk.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, he could like regenerate. Yeah. He just made me think of Deadpool. Like that literally is what it looked like.
It was,
you know, like especially when his hands come back. Yes. I was like, all right, this is more serious when Deadpool's hand got shot off. But that's exactly like me and my wife thought. We're like, that's a very dead, but that's what's funny, because that was a live action thing, even though that was CGI and Deadpool, but like it looked the same, which is pretty impressive. Well,
all around, I thought the story was good. I thought the CGI was good, or what do you want to call it, animation, all of it, because it was kind of both. I mean, but I really liked to me, that was the whole package.
Yeah,
so that's why that was the favorite one to me. And I liked how he was fighting the ones who wanted to take from it. It's another morality tale.
Yeah.
Because
like he wasn't a bad person.
No, he
literally
wasn't.
Had the whole world against him for yes. no reason.
And they're all trying to take
yeah.
him. And the one that actually wanted his choice was the one that he ended up being with.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a great morality tale because free will and choice matters. And,
yeah,
and
especially in like a crazy world like yeah, that was.
Yeah, know? So I really identified with that one. So that's why it was a top for me.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely was one of the best ones. I'll say that too. And yeah, it was really cool. And that, like I said, that one, like even the ice one or even the one about the kids and stuff, I could keep that.
The Christmas one?
Well, I'll talk about that soon. But
well, which one about the kids you talking about?
Like the population one, I meant, like killing the kids.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like that one, actually, I think that's good as itself. But like having the one about like the population control, I think it would have been better. I think it's good as just that episode, but I actually wanted to see more of the snow in the desert story.
I totally agree.
And like that's the way where it's like some of my favorite ones I just like as a short, but that one particular is the only one out of all the ones I liked in this that I wanted to see more of a universe built.
100% agree with you. I totally agree with that. There could have been more.
Yeah.
But there was all short, so maybe there'll be another one in the next one.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And that like they hadn't done that, and especially in this season, like they didn't continue anything. So that was kind of interesting. I thought maybe like one of like season one maybe had got some legs and maybe some fans and maybe whatever like studio did one of the episodes in season one maybe got like a part two, but they didn't do that, which I thought was interesting. Well, so
according to my research, my show prep, the drowned giant was supposed to be connected to the pop squad one, which was the kid killing one. Right? Isn't that the name of the
yeah.
kid killing one? It says, as a bonus, in Blink It, You'll Miss It shot in Drowned Giant, reveals the green Ipswich collectible storefront from Pop Squad also exists here, apparently revealing that at least these two stores exist in the same universe. Oh.
Well, I mean, I guess that's true.
I don't know. I'm just telling
you. What I was saying
some
from
kind
season
of a tenuous
one,
connection
from
there.
Season one, there is nothing connected in season two.
Sorry. Okay. But, absolutely. Okay. Okay. I got you now. I'm wrong.
No, you're right in what you're saying, but that giant one, I wanted to like that, but I was just like, this is so dumb.
When I first saw it, Otto was in the room. I go, what does this remind you of? She didn't know. I said, Gover's Travels.
Yeah, Gover's Travels. That's
the
what I was
first
say.
Thing I thought
I
of.
I almost said Gilligan's Island, but I was waiting. I was like, it's in that good. Like,
that's the first thing I thought of. Yeah. I thought that it ended up being just more of a disappointment. It just,
yeah,
because nothing really happens. He dies and he
it's
decomposes.
A narrator just like, and it was kind of funny, especially with like the penis thing and stuff like that. But like, I mean, yeah, I was just like, I wanted to like it, but I'm like, yeah, it's so dumb.
See, that's what they should have had hanging over that door. That would have been funny.
That would have been a, like, I think we would have not have to read, be like, yeah, there was a callback there, you know? But yeah, I mean, it was more, I think that one too is more of like a, just like showing the animation off and stuff. Cause that did look cool.
Yeah, it was. It was good animation. But that's
it. Like you couldn't really even tell who was real and not real in that and like how everyone looked too. And yeah, it was just like kind of silly and stupid. But the Santa Claus one. So I actually wanted to talk because this is like a funny talk because we've had this talk.
Well, like Krampus.
Yeah. But I mean, I know we talked about this like off mic about like telling your kids about Santa and stuff like that. And it's like, what if that actually was like what Santa Claus, it's like that one is so simple and it's not like very, it's not even sci-fi. I mean, it's just literally more of just like a gross animation of what Santa Claus, I guess, could be.
If I project myself as one of those kids, he gets the present and he spits it out and it's drooling with spit. I'm not opening that damn thing.
Yeah. Just you go around the wrapping paper. You know,
oh, yeah,
right. It could be like in, oh God, why can't I think of that movie? a Christmas story. You know, it could be your Winchester, BB gun thing, you know, whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Even though with it, it's all ruined. It's all spit. It's look, box. I'm just saying that I would be so grossed out that I would never want to open that present.
Yeah.
I'm trying to reject myself and the kid. Other than that, it was a good twist on Christmas.
It was funny. And especially, like, I'm glad they saved that towards the end, too. Because, I mean, that one and the first episode, I think, were the only ones that had pretty much humor in them. And, like, the first one is pretty much funny from the start. And, like,
why I like that one.
The Santa Claus one, though, like, you literally have to watch till the very end to be like, oh, that's just a huge joke. You know, like, it's, and that's why I appreciate it a lot, because it wasn't, you know, spaceships and, you know, people fighting and like a lot of more of the crazy stuff we just talked about before. But it was like so subtle and such a joke on the theme of Christmas. It was great. I mean, like,
well, even though that was darker, it's still, I liked it because
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But it's still, he still was defining good and evil. I mean, or good and bad in this case for kids. Kids aren't evil. But still, that point was there. And I really liked it. I liked the twist of it.
And that's why I'm saying, like, that's more to me, that was like the first episode had a lot, like, it was funny. But again, it just wasn't anything new. Like, that. The Santa Claus one was something I never thought about in that way, or saw something like that way. Having like your appliances chase you, I'm like, that's been done 1,000,000,000 times, you know. But it's that's what it was. It was just two different, just like takes on humor in that sense.
Well, yeah, it was clever. And the Santa Claus one, if you want to call, what would you even call?
I know, and that's the thing. It's like, it's not a robot. It was like literally just like another entity.
Was an alien. That's what I would call it.
Yeah, it was definitely more of an alien.
Yeah, so. But it was a good twist. It really was a good twist.
Santa Claus had good intentions. Especially
because you look at this alien, he's ugly, and you think something bad's going to happen.
Like, he's going to kill them.
Yeah. And he ends up doing something good. Yeah. So that's clever twist on that. I really like that one. That's definitely in my top.
That was a Tim Burton-esque, like, you know, like I was mentioning the other ones, but like that literally seemed like it came out of A Nightmare Before Christmas or something like that, you know, but I like that one too. Like, yeah, literally the ones that were on my list were just the Ice Pop Squad, Stone the Desert, and All Throughout the House, and the other ones I could care two shits about. But I mean, I'm glad I watched them. They didn't waste my time, but I was just disappointed in this season that I felt like even like, if you remember in the first season, like the one episode where the guy, like, it's kind of more of like a trippy episode, but when him and his partner on the desert, and he like becomes like, he like starts swimming with fishes and stuff like that. Like, do you remember that episode?
I actually don't remember that.
It's
2 years ago. So
it's, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be sci-fi, but it's more like trippy-esque, but it's like literally about these two people that are stranded because their car breaks down in the desert, and they start like, it kind of implies they're like hallucinating because they've like been stranded in the desert. And like one guy's like basically like conserving himself and like, we'll get help soon. Let's just chill out and wait. And this other guy like kind of goes wild and goes out in the desert and starts seeing like fishes flying around, and he like outer bodies himself and swims in the air. But like the end of the episode, he literally gets killed by a shark, and like it's like kind of like saying his soul, like, I think they die. Like, that's like the whole point, because they're like,
it's stuck. Weird. I have no recollection.
I know. That's like, but like, I'm like, they went and the first season, I felt like tried in a lot of their stories. They just tried really hard. If it made sense or not, if it was stupid or not, if it was more extreme than all that, because even that one military episode where they had the werewolves, did you remember that one?
I think so, yeah.
That was a really cool one, where it's like the military had these like super soldiers that were werewolves basically, and they were, it's kind of like a race thing, because like the werewolves were, you know, they were the better soldiers, but there's only like five of them, but like all the rest of the military hates them, and like, you know, they can't sit them and all this stuff. But it's so cool, and it's like, it's about werewolves, and it's like, it's more the realistic looking animation too, and that was a really badass episode too. And yeah, I just felt like this season just like held back way too much.
Well, it was too short too.
And that's the thing.
Well, once again, what could have been the reason? It could have been legitimate reason from holding back, like I said, COVID, but who knows? It doesn't matter. We're presented with that. We can only go by that. And at least the snow and the desert one made it all worth it. And then the like Christmas one too.
Yeah. I mean, half and half. I mean, like, that's not a bad, it's not a bad split of the pie. You know what I mean? Yeah. So.
I mean, the Hatch one was at least good when it come to CSI. I mean, that one looked really, I mean, if you talk about a movie, to me, that one looked like a movie.
Yeah. And it looked very good. Yeah.
At least for that one. But you're right about the tall grass was,
Yeah, that one, yeah, that was probably my least favorite out of all of them. Like the Michael B. Jordan, like actually had like some action in it and stuff, but I didn't feel anything. The tall grass one, I'd probably say was my least favorite. Cause even like the giant one, I could just at least, they were trying for something and I didn't like it as much as I wanted to, but at least they were like, you know, they had the penis joke and they were trying to do something with like, you know, a human body being washed up. So it's like, all right, at least he tried something, you know, that wasn't in the first season. And I can't think of, yeah, Gulliver's Travel, but, you know, the guy wasn't dead. He kind of comes back. So,
well,
Jack Black, he was in that remake. I know we talked about Tenacious D stuff, but he did one of the Gulliver's Travels remake.
I never saw it.
I never seen it, but I know there is a thing, and he's the guy that's strapped down, and little people are trying to
time down. No kidding. That would be funny.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about it? I think we could.
I think we nailed all eight of them. Yeah. We talked about just about all eight of them. I mean, I'm pretty much.
If we had 18, this would have been like
a bit much longer.
Maybe we could extend this a little bit longer, but. I think with a note on these things, though, too, is these are the people, and I know this is kind of like, it's like a set piece of these crews and these studios that make these shorts to show what they're made of and what they're capable of doing. But man, like even like the Snow of the Desert people or even the Michael B. Jordan one and all that stuff, like those are the people that need to be like in a lot of the video game stuff, like doing cutscenes.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, whoever they have hopefully would want to do that, but it's like, I would think like a lot of the big companies in the video game world should be looking at these people to be like, I mean, like these are the ones that should be doing, you know, Witcher 4 cutscenes and all that, you know, CD Projekt Red has good stuff and like all their Witcher stuff's really great, but I'm like, if you get some of this talent on your side,
that you plus make... with the CGI and the actors together, I think you're absolutely right. It would be an awesome combination. It would make it like playing a movie. I mean, and that,
because even though like a lot of these stories too, it's like these could be openings of games, you know, and like I think they would be appreciated a lot in the video game world. So,
well, this is going to show my age, but do you remember Dragon Slayer?
Yeah, yeah.
When that first came out, to me, that was revolutionary because it was like playing a Disney movie.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it was pretty cool to me at that time.
Point and click adventure and all that.
So. Yeah, but just the animation was just, it was top notch at the time. Now it looks back, it's crap, but.
It still looked cool.
It was top notch at the time. That game when it came out really excited me because it was like you're playing in a movie, and that would excite me too if they stepped it up and did CGI stuff.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. And that's like where I was thinking about when I was watching these, and I thought about it with season one too, but this made me think about it a little bit more, you know, going into this podcast and stuff too. So I was like, yeah, I hope these people and these studios and all that, because I think they would do, I mean, they can obviously do whatever they want, but I would just appreciate if they were in more into like the video game world. I think that'd be like a cool thing to see these skills being used on and stuff like that.
Maybe so, we'll go. Yeah. I can see it going. And that's
the
kind of
thing the way they do credits in this is weird. Cause you have to like, you know, they show the episode and I know they have credits at the end and stuff too, but you would think they'd kind of show what crews worked on each of these episodes more like kind of up front. feel like you gotta like kind of dig to like know who did all these things too.
When I watched it in one straight setting, and you know how Netflix, 5 seconds, it goes from next one. So I never got to see hardly anything, 5 seconds worth of each one, and then it went to the next one. So I didn't even bother looking. I just moved on to the next one.
No, I agree. And that's like, I just feel like the way, and they did that in season one too, because I'm like,
they did even just all of them. They did it with Game of Thrones. No, it wasn't Game of Thrones. That was HBO. But they do it just about all of them. You got 5 seconds. Let's move on to the next episode.
But I think with this, that since these are all short stories done by different studios and it's not a continuing story or anything like that, it should just be, I don't know. I just think you should just like shout out the studio that made Snow in the Desert. This is by just that logo, like whatever it is. I don't even know what it is, but just those people, I think would be a nice, like, you don't have to know every Tom, Dick and Harry on there, but it's like, if it's studio, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I just think that would make more sense to present it. You know, it doesn't have to be rolling things like Star Wars, but I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like for this, since it's like advertising their skills and this, like what they're doing, that's how I would.
They're telling you to do your own homework.
And yeah, I know. And it's like, it's a Netflix thing because Netflix is like, oh, it's a Netflix show. It's like, no, it's not. Like, these are other people that do this. It's just on your network, I guess. So I don't know. I another thing with this too, I like this a lot. And because Netflix has a lot of shows. And even with like animes and stuff like that, like animation, they more or less are just like taking things, you know, like they have shows that are just on everything else, and they're like, it's Netflix presents and all that stuff. This is like new content and new IP stuff that I like. That's not like a movie, a new sitcom, or a new just like whatever. I think Love, Death and Robots, or Sex and Robots, whatever it's called, but it's like, I just feel like this is very unique to the Netflix platform that I don't think I've seen anywhere else. Oh, yeah,
it's totally different from just about everything else they have there.
Yeah, and that's what's cool, and I hope they keep making them. And yeah, I hope we get 8 more episodes or something. Like, come on.
2 years.
Please, Netflix, please. But yeah, let's wrap this up. I think this is good. We'll keep this as a short story, and you know, just going with the theme with that too. So plug your stuff, DJ.
You can check me, Ryan, or should I say Trainwreck, and my daughter Autumn on our Plus Ultra My Hero Academia podcast. We talk everything My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
It's an okay anime. It's not the best.
They're not short stories. So.
Maybe each one of them is. But
yeah. But even one episode of My Hero is longer than any of these. So.
This is true. But they're all, My Hero is all one connected. One long
story. So yeah, no, it's a fun podcast. I'm always glad to be on it. So. And check out Banzai Chat everywhere you get podcasts, and check out BanzaiChat.com for everybody to support the podcast. And like us on everything, Twitter, Instagram. I mean, I haven't been on my Twitter in so long. I kind of done with that. But anyways, we're going to get back into it. I'm venturing off into new things. I don't know. But Instagram and all that stuff, you know, check us out there. And we're in the new Banzai studio here. You know,
it's the Banzai bunker studio. The
Banzai actual bunker studio. And it's actually the Banzai bar, I'll call it, because we got a nice little, but Banzai bunker bar, bing bong, ding dong,
whatever. BBB.
So we'll catch you next time on the Banzai chat. And I don't know. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.